This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ringing in the new year the right way with VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Great having Mike Palm on in the last hour. Greg Peterson was kind enough to join us here in hour number one. Wherever you get your podcast, like, subscribe. VSiN by the Books, go back and listen on your time. Jensen, boy, what a way to ring in the new year here. We're going to get to a lot with football. Week 18, college football playoff. Boy, you know, we talked about it. Getting to the college football playoff, it was painful with the committee and everything else. But now that once you get here, didn't last night's game feel like a mini pseudo national championship to you?
Man, it was great. 20 plus years waiting for Hurricane fans and those players. They talked about it. They circled that. They said, we won Ohio State. They got them, man. And they are very live now. And we cannot wait to see what that semifinal matchup is going to be.
They are now down to the third betting choice, Miami Hurricanes. To win the national championship. We'll get back to college on our best bets later on in the program, but let's get to what we've done all year. We'll get to our ATS leans here in a second, but you've done a self audit for us here, and we're very transparent in Lewis Ross administration. And let's do that audit here for how we've done in year one for us in the millions contest. We've been hovering right around 500 most of the year. We can still finish strong here, but we've got to go back as a good gambler and look where some blind spots might be and where some strengths might be.
Boy, what a start. If we had just a 500 start quarter one, man, we really hit our stride there in the middle weeks of the season. And we've stubbed our toe. A few near misses by the hooks here, if you will, on by the books in quarter number four. We will not be cashing either the good nor the bad, but it has been a great year as far as some of the specifics here. Thursday night football, buddy, we're pretty good. 6-3. Sunday night football, we're probably looking ahead to Monday. We're trying to get our rest. It's been a long week. Not our best. And Monday night football, that might be a thing we circle for next year and say, we've tried to get through it. Not good. Any international contest, though, we are your source for the winners. A perfect 4-0 in all those NFL contests abroad. Best teams ATS. The Cincinnati Bengals, 4-1. Would not have guessed that Cincinnati would have been one of our best teams. Patriots 3-0, as well as the Carolina Panthers. On the flip side, man, we could not pick the Lions to save our life, nor could we pick your Dallas Cowboys, buddy. That was really, really tough. Best division, Dave, though, ATS, the AFC East. We're 9-5 picking the AFC East teams against the spread. The NFC East, a very dismal 1-7-1. And I find this to be the most fascinating part. There were four teams that we have not selected here into the final week. We have not selected the Eagles, the Bears, the Packers, or the Saints. And I have a sneaky suspicion one or a few of those teams may be taken off the board, if you will, of teams that we have not selected here in our final week 18 picks.
That is a fantastic audit. I'd like to take some personal responsibility for some of those Cowboy selections. including Christmas Day. I mean, how do they not? They're up 21-3 last week against the Commanders, and they keep that back door open. And Josh Johnson and company, Dan Quinn, they kick a late field goal to make it a 7-point game. We had 7.5, so we lose that contest play. So we did lose. Look, this is the way it's going to be. You're going to lose some of those by the hook. That's why you always try to get the best of those numbers. Let's see if some of those teams that we have not wagered on will disappear here. Final time for a full slate of week 18, our ATS leans. I believe I'll go first, Jensen. And this is a team that, boy, I thought we had success on, and then we kind of were indifferent on, and then it was like Baker Mayfield. Do we go against Baker? I don't know how to play him. I'm going to play one more time. I'm going to ride with Bake. I know he's banged up, been a problem practicing this week. I still think they need a lot of help to get in. We'll talk about that help if they can get it from the Saints. I'm going to bank on the Bucks. At least take care of their job and lay the 2.5 at home against Carolina. They've lost 7 of 8. It's been a dismal stretch here for Todd Bowles and Baker Mayfield. Tristan Wirfs didn't play last week. If you can get Wirfs back this week with all the wide receivers back, that would be massive for the Bucs going forward. I think he's the most indisposable player that they have outside of the quarterback position. I think it's Tristan Wirfs on the offensive line. Let's see if he can go. Saints, I like the Falcons to win the game, ironically, which would give the division to Carolina. But I think I want to be on the point on the side of the points here because I think it's a field goal game either way. And we talked about it yesterday, Jensen. This might be the most with no playoff implications other than what it means for Carolina and Tampa, but not for the actual teams. Maybe the game I'm most intrigued by on week 18 with the way that Atlanta's finished the season strong. We saw what they did to the Rams last week in primetime. The way the Saints are on a heater and whether or not we can get Shuck across the line here as the rookie of the year. And now he's the second betting choice to do that. Give me the Saints plus the three. I'm going to play the Packers. I'm sorry. Who's playing quarterback for the Vikings this week? I don't care what this iteration of the Packers looks like. Give me over a touchdown, 7.5 with the Pack in a quote-unquote meaningless game. I'll ride on that than laying a big number with Minnesota at home, even though they're playing their best football of the year as well. Jacksonville, Duval. Yeah, I like Tennessee a lot. I think Mike McCoy's done a really good job with Cam Ward and company, but I think you put the hammer down with something to play for, potentially outside shot for the one seed. Give me the boys in Duval to roll and lay the 10.5. Same thing with the Texans, same principle here against Indianapolis. And I'll tell you this, I probably would have been on the Colts side if Phillip Rivers was playing. He's not. So retiring again for Phillip. So we're not going to see old man Rivers out there. Give me CJ Stroud and that defense, best in the league. I'll lay the 10.5. Go Chargers. I'll take the 12.5 against Denver. I think this is more of a Harbaugh pride play. I will be curious to see what it looks like here for Trey Lance. If he still thinks he's going to be a starting quarterback, this could be an audition for Trey Lance out there. He's been kicked around here for a bunch of different teams. You get another opportunity, you got to try to shine for a former top five pick. Raiders, I'll hold my nose. It can't look worse than it did last week against the Giants, can it? Can it? I'll take the 5.5 here with the Raiders. Rams laying 7 against Arizona. I think Stafford's up for the passing title, is up for the MVP. I know Sean McVay will say he doesn't care about that. I think he does. I think they're going to put a big number out in the other desert against Arizona. I'll take the Dolphins. Mike McDaniels, I think, still coaching for his job a little bit. New England, all the turmoil they've had this week up there. I don't know that I want to lay that number with the Patriots right now. Not feeling really good about what's going on inside that building. I'll take the 10.5 here with the Fighting Fish. And then Sunday night, the big one with everything on the line. Talked about it earlier in the program, Jensen. I love Aaron Rodgers in the spot. I know they don't have DK Metcalf, and I know you're going to get Lamar Jackson back on the other side, but I'm getting 3 and a hook. I think it's a field goal game. I actually like the Steelers to win this game outright. I do. I know it's crazy, and it doesn't make a lot of sense without DK Metcalf. I think this is why Mike Tomlin went out and sought Aaron Rodgers to win this specific game, and I think he gets it done on Sunday night.
Buddy, we got 4. We got 4 that we have together. That is a great way to get this thing started. You and I aligned the Bucks. I mean, we're going to go down swinging with Baker, man. The Buccaneers -2.5. We're there. I'm with you on the Saints. Saints might be my favorite play of the week. Probably going to be a multi-unit wow. play for me. Getting the 3, so much motivation for that group to finish strong. And you're one of Kellen Moore, Tyler Shuck, the motivation to try and get him across the line for offensive rookie of the year. You and I will disagree on the Vikings and the Packers. It's more just with the trends we're going to illuminate here coming up from Steve Mackinnon in our Daily Gridiron in the next segment. We're aligned with the Jaguars too. I think this is very reminiscent, Dave, of what the Patriots just did to the Jets a week ago. I think Liam Cohen and company going to leave no doubt. They know they control their own destiny there in the AFC South. Hey, if this is it, it's the final time we can bet on Pete Carroll. Why not? Against Chris Oladokun at home there, Raiders +5.5. Those are the 4 that you and I align on. So we've got a little work to do to figure out what we want for our 5th selection. I know you're on the Texans there. That might be a good one too, just kind of looking at motivation. They know they have to win and the Jags would have to lose to be able to get that AFC South division title. The Rams one is intriguing. Just, I don't know how long that Sean McVay is going to put the starters in. Yeah, is it just for a half and then you pull them just to kind of keep continuity? Interested to see what they do there. I had the Jets +7 against the Bills. Great little schedule spot here. Again, Steve Mackinnon, some great numbers at VSiN.com if you want to jump on those. And then the Bears. I almost kind of want to pick a team, Dave, that we haven't bet on. And it kind of want to go. So the Bears might be the one that I lobby for there so that we can be able to take them off the board. One final thing that I do want to say, and I know you were out there before you made the move to Tennessee. Shout out to Tom Carroll from Vegas Football Proxy. Tom has been amazing for us as being our proxy this year. Would definitely do business again with him next season. I think I am going to do an individual entry as well on top of our by the books entry coming back in year two. But mile high salute, Tom. Thank you so much. Vegas Football Proxy, if you're looking to get in the contest for next year, we highly recommend Tom and the service that they do there. So wanted to give him a shout out. Fantastic, buddy. 4 of 5 we get on our final week. And I'm going to lobby that we take Caleb Williams and the Bears there for our final selection.
Love it. And by the way, Mike Palm was the guy that put me on to Tom. Tom's been fantastic for us. Highly recommend. If you're not like us, we're not in Vegas anymore here, and you got to get a proxy. It's a great service. It's a great contest. Let's do it. Let's take the Bears, because that will mean out of the four teams we have not played all year, we'll get at least two of those in week 18, the Saints plus 3. And we're going to lay it with the Bears. And screw you, Dan Campbell. You screwed up my our millions entries this year, Detroit. Right? They were our worst ATS team, the Lions. They're not going to cash my 9.5 ticket over 160. We'll do our In the Black Monday as well on our individual bets that we had before the year. And also in the futures show that we did here at VSiN, which I thought was a whopping success. We'll go back and take a look at some of those picks that we had and see which ones are going to cash for us here and who's going to win that contest. It's still up for grabs. Let's get to the Daily Gridiron. That is next, talking college football and beyond on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books, ringing in 2026. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. And I do have breaking news to report here, Jensen. This comes from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Mom has just texted. And first of all, she says, Happy New Year, Jensen. You look great. And Mom, thank you for that. And I can't believe this. I did not stay up till midnight. You said you and Michelle did stay up till midnight back in Ohio. And So Mom is a late arrival to the show today because she slept in, which I understand. And she says she and Dad stayed up till 1:30 in the morning on the East Coast.
Let's go.
What are you doing up at 1:30 in the morning watching the fireworks from across this great country? Ma, you got to get your sleep. She stayed up till 1:30 in the morning. That is the biggest upset. The no market at Sir, it was off the board. They'd taken it off the board that Mom and Dad would make it to midnight. They made it to 1:30. That is really impressive. And now I'm embarrassed, Jensen, that I went to bed right after the interception of the Ohio State-Miami game to wrap that up. Their son couldn't even stay up till midnight. Let's get to what we're going to see today with the iteration of the three college football quarterfinal games. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Gridiron.
This is the Daily Gridiron.
All right, Jensen. We got some teaser action out there. We have some moving lines. And you're already looking ahead to some hypothetical for the semis, my friend?
Last night, some of these numbers populating. And now we obviously have one entry into the college football playoff semifinals by virtue of the Miami Hurricanes winning. Right now, Dave, they would be a 1.5-point favorite if Ole Miss were to upset Georgia and get through to the semifinal. Georgia only a 3.5-point favorite in a hypothetical semifinal matchup. Boy, does that give you a little bit of intrigue considering Miami was a double-digit dog at open against Ohio State. So fascinating look-ahead line there. Indiana, if they move on to the semifinal, they would be a favorite. No surprise here against either Texas Tech or Oregon. They'd be a four-point favorite against the Red Raiders, just a 3.5-point favorite against the Ducks. Here's the intriguing part here. Alabama upsets the number one team in the land. They're dogs again. 3.5-point dogs to Texas Tech, 4-point dogs to the Ducks. If you had to play a look-ahead line right now, any of those numbers that you like right now?
I would say this. If you liked Miami in this hypothetical, right, that it was Georgia, I would bet that now, if you can get those markets to say, hey, if the matchup doesn't happen, you get your bet refunded, obviously, I would take the 3.5 against Georgia because I think that would get bet down to a field goal. That's what I think that would do. I think that hook would go away, and that'd probably be a 3-point number. Conversely, if you like Miami against Ole Miss, now look, if Ole Miss beats Georgia, then maybe the Pete Golding conversation changes dramatically today, but I could see that number going up to 2.5 to the Miami side. So I think I would look to the Miami sides here on those hypotheticals, thinking those numbers might move, quote unquote, against you, that you're going to have to give up more later, whether it's against Ole Miss or you're going to get less against Georgia. Hey, if you like Bama to win today, and I do, I would take those numbers right now, because if they beat Indiana, you're not going to get 3.5 against Texas Tech, and you're not going to get 4 against Oregon. That perception of Bama will change like it has changed for Miami if they beat right now the number one team in the country in Indiana. So on those hypothetical lines, make sure that the book says if Alabama loses, you get your money back today. But if they do win, I think those are the better of the numbers, Jensen, that you'd get today than you're going to get tomorrow.
All right. Love that part. One of your favorite quotes from Jim Mora of A Day Gone By. Playoffs? You kidding me? All right. So it is 2026 as of today. I did a little research last night over the past 30 years. So these are some NFL trends entering week 18. Since 1996, and there's a couple caveats in here. So let's start with the games that matter. Carolina and Tampa, first one on Saturday afternoon. Carolina, Dave, in the month of January, as a road team, is 12-4-1 to the over. Seen points here for Carolina entering the final week of the season. Tampa Bay, it's been a fortress for them when they have been a home favorite at this point, and they are coming off of a loss on the road. 16-5 straight up in this scheduling spot. So some intrigue there for a very important game on Saturday. Saturday night, going to decide the NFC West and the number one seed in the NFC. Seattle, 14-3 against the number, Dave, as a road team, coming off a win over an NFC South opponent, which they just had. The San Francisco 49ers, 10-1 straight up when they are the home team, coming off back-to-back straight-up wins the last 3 years, and they are riding the highs right now with a head of steam headed into that Saturday night affair. The final game of the regular season, the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Baltimore is 9-1 straight-up when they are a road team after a non-division game the last 2 years. Very good numbers right there. Pittsburgh also 10-3 against the number when they are a home team, coming off a road ATS loss the last 5 years, that being the case after they lost outright to the Cleveland Browns this final week. And then one that is just going to defy imagination, because all of a sudden Atlanta holds the keys to the NFC South. The last 10 years, Dave, when they have been mathematically eliminated from the postseason, they are 12-4 straight up. 12-4 when they've been mathematically eliminated. All the other games, they are way under 500. 25 games under 500, 53-78. So, unreal. Hey, you know, I know we've got people asking us out there. I think we do. And let me ask you this question. One of our listeners, one of our viewers, Eric, needs some advice. He has the Panthers at 7-1 to win the division. The Rams lost, obviously giving them a couple of ways to win. He asked, would you hedge by taking the Saints money line before or after the Panthers game on Saturday? What would you recommend?
Oh boy. I would look, the Saints are going to play that thing out like it's their Super Bowl. They are chomping at the bit to get back out there and play. That's how good things, the vibes right now for the Saints are. So I think independent of that, if I'm sitting on a 7-1 ticket on the Panthers, I think the Panthers are getting in. And by the way, I've got a 30-1 on the Bucs to win the NFC. I think that's dead this week because I think the Buccaneers are going to beat the Panthers. And I don't think that's where the worry is going to be in your 7-1 ticket. I think you're going to get in because I think the Falcons ultimately will beat the Saints. But I think it's a field goal game. I'd rather have the three in pocket. So if you want to safeguard it, then I'd play the Saints money line here. I think they're very live to win it. I think it's going to be super close. I could see this type of game, Jensen, where it's somebody's down seven late and they score and they go for two. And that's where the points could come into play here on the Saints side plus three. So you could safeguard yourself even a little bit instead of playing Saints money line, play the Saints plus three, and you've got a double whammy there to potentially get out of that thing because I don't think these teams are going to look for overtime. Both these teams are playing their best football, ironically, the Falcons and the Saints right now. I'd play the Saints plus three. That'd be my advice if I'm sitting on Carolina at a 7-1 to win the division ticket.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with that. And so, Eric out there, I appreciate you chiming in on social media with that question. All right, the grand finale. Nothing is over until we decide it is. Animal House, for you millennials that haven't seen it, one of the foundational movies of our generation. Okay, I mentioned the trends, courtesy of Steve Mackinnon. If you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, you have access to this as well. Go to VSiN.com. Fascinating ATS trend here, Dave. Since 2011, underdogs in games which teams are resting starters are on a 26-14 ATS run. That's good for a 65% cover percentage. That trend is active on the following games. The Jets getting the 7 at the Bills. Sean McDermott and company going to rest key guys. The Eagles, Nick Sirianni hasn't said it, but it in so facto is like, hey, we're resting everybody for the entirety of the game. They are going to rest starters from what we're hearing at some point. So the Commanders plus 4 is a very intriguing angle to look at. And then Sean McVay said they're going to start the starters, but Dave, I can't envision him running those guys out there for four quarters. I think that they're going to get maybe through halftime, and that might be it. So I think the back door is wide open for the Cardinals plus 7. So great work there from our colleague, Steve Mackinnon, VSiN.com. If you want to check out his article up right now on the website. Told you I like a couple of dogs here. I think I'm getting to the window on at least the Jets and maybe even the Commanders here, just knowing where the Bills and the Eagles are as far as their positional seed in both the AFC and the NFC playoffs.
Nothing is over. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Germans, don't stop him. He's rolling. My other favorite line in that movie, and I'm so glad you brought up Animal House because it is a comedy classic that stands the test of time, is when they see their pledges being berated. Hey, he can't do that to our pledges. Yeah, only we can do that to our pledges. That's the way I feel about people here at VSiN, right? Like, you can't get on, if you're on the outside, you can't get on our people. We can get on our people, but you can't get on our people. That's the quote that I think is apropos there from Animal House as well. I do like that play on the Commanders, plus the 4 against the Eagles with Sirianni saying he's going to sit his guys. I'm a little bit leery about the Rams one because I do wonder if they still feel like we got to make sure we wrap up the 5, go out there and put the work in. It could be a good first half play, though, on the Rams and maybe come back in the Cardinals in the second. Let's talk about Oregon and Texas Tech. Guns up. Are they really? Should they be the underdog? That's next right here. VSiN by the Books.
Tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue the New Year's Day edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. 3 college football playoff games today, the quarterfinals. This is going to be wall-to-wall football for us. Cannot wait to get back home on the couch and watch these games and see if we can find some angles that we like in these. Now, look, we have been talking about here, you and I, for the better part of 2 weeks. Like, we get it. Oregon, they didn't cover against JMU. They say they took that as a loss. I don't know why they're still lamenting the JMU ending. Like, to me, that should be so far in the rear view. I don't know why they'd be hung up on the way that game ended when it was never in doubt. And yet, it does feel like Texas Tech is the team that's being overlooked. And they are the higher seed. I do think if you look at it objectively, you can make a case for the Red Raiders now with Ohio State out, saying that they could be arguably the most complete balanced team that we have out there. that's still left in the college football playoff. Jensen, are we stealing money if we take the Red Raiders today plus $1.20 in the money line?
I mean, that's why I said I don't understand why they're underdogs here. And I bet them when they were plus 1.5. I bet them again, a 2-unit play for me today on the plus 2.5. And I think if JMU can put up 30 plus against Oregon, I realize in garbage time there, that's how they got over. But I mean, how has Texas Tech not put at least 20 some odd points on Oregon today? Mm. So I played the plus 2.5. I did play the over 50.5. There are some of those that are still out there. I know there's a 50 at Circa right now. Both these offenses can score. Will it be a late turnover? Will it be a missed kick? Will it be, something situationally that is the differentiator in the early game? I was texting with Stormy Bonantoni, who's going to be on the Texas Tech sideline for the ESPN coverage today in this one. And I think she had a great point just about knowing that Texas Tech is kind of been overlooked a little bit. And I resonated with that the defense, and I'll use Stormy said their defense is super legit. I could not agree anymore. I think they really kind of have a little Miami in them. They want to bully you and they want to punch you in the mouth. And I just feel that because they haven't maybe had the most national exposure, maybe that's why the Oregon and brand name is kind of getting the run here. But you tell me, man, I mean, you look at their numbers overall, you're looking at a Red Raider team that averaged 42.5 points per game. You're looking at a Ducks team that averaged nearly 40 points per game. I think we get offense. It's just a matter of which defense makes that stop late to ultimately get their team over the line.
Okay, to that end, Jensen, I'm looking at team totals here, and the total for this game is set at 50. Now, here's where it's interesting. Just I know it's 1 point, and some people don't get, they're going to go, why are you getting hung up on 1 point? Oregon's team total is 25.5. And it is juiced right now. I'm seeing about 120 to the overside there. Okay, 115. So 115 there, either side for the 25.5. Now, Texas Tech's over-under number is 23.5. It is juiced to the over at minus -120. You add that up, that's 49. So you're getting one less point. What I'm getting at is it's more advantageous to play a team total than it would be to play the overall total because you're paying another tax for that extra point to get over 50, technically 2 points, because to win the bet, you got to get it to 51. So if you look at the team totals, where you can find a little bit more value by this exercise, which one would you feel more comfortable betting? The over on Oregon 20 to get to 26 points or to Texas Tech getting to 24? I think I know what your answer is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, boy, Texas Tech feels like, that feels like they at least can get 26, 27. I mean, they've put up, let's see, they have put up 40 points. Texas Tech has put up 40 or more points in 6 of their last 7 games. And they've only allowed 10.9 on the season. They have given up an average of 5.3 points per game over their last 3 games. I keep asking the same question. What am I missing here with Oregon being favored? I agree with the maestro, Mike Palm. I think Texas Tech should be favored. Adam Burke, our managing editor yesterday, said the same thing in his power ratings. So, hey, that's why they play the games. And very anxious to see what this one looks like here beginning at high noon.
Could be a ladder scenario. I don't play them very often. But, Jensen, right now you can get solid plus money. 26.5 for Texas Tech is plus $1.20. 27.5 to that point if they can score 4 touchdowns, plus $1.45. And 28.5 or more right now is plus $1.70 to the way of the Red Raiders. Because I'm with you, Oregon can score 2, so Texas Tech should not take their foot off the gas in a game like this. You better score, score, and score more, and make sure you put them away. So you could be looking at a ladder scenario there and ladder up to 28.5. That'll get you to plus $1.70. I wonder what the scoring is going to look like in the SEC matchup today in the quarterfinal between Georgia and right now Pete Golding in Ole Miss. So Kirby talked about a little bit about the big game experience because Pete Golding now at least has won a college football game in a playoff. And I know, that's going to be the joke that Lane Kiffin has not done that. Kirby, this is just another day in the life of Kirby Smart in getting to national championships, winning national championships and playing in games like this. Let's hear Kirby on the value of experience.
I think it's a good topic for you guys to talk about and debate about, but once the players get on the field, yeah, all that goes away. None of that matters. I mean, we've been in rematches, big games. When you play in the SEC, every week's a big game. You know, when you go on the road in the SEC and play, it's an environment like no other. It can't be matched. And so the gauntlet of what their team has gone through and our team has gone through, this is another, you know, SEC battle. I don't think you can draw much. I don't personally think you can draw much on the experiences you learned from last year, or experiences like travel, extra day in a hotel, where you don't get those in regular season. But in these kind of matchups, it still boils down to the players making plays and coaches putting them in position to.
Okay, I get that from Kirby, right? Been there, done that. You guys can talk about this narrative all you want, but once you get to and you kick the ball off, all that stuff goes away. This is not going to be on the road, as he mentioned, for an SEC environment. It's going to be a right now a neutral at the Sugar Bowl, but it's really going to be a home game for Georgia, if we're being honest, right? So you're laying 6.5. So yeah, it's not in Athens, but it's still right there in Georgia. Does that play into it too, Jensen? Are we overlooking that fact that this is a pseudo home game for the Bulldogs?
Well, I looked at the familiarity factor. We hearken back to one of the tickets that I had left for dead when they matched up in the regular season. I had Georgia -8, no business for them covering, and somehow miraculously they do. And again, that's an Ole Miss Rebel team that by rights should have won it outright and, yep, and then some. I think I hearken to adjustments. Kirby Smart is a defensive mastermind. I think the under is very much in play here. I played under 56.5 just for a little bit of breathing room here. I do believe that that defense is peaking at the right time. Factor this in, Dave. We just talked about the Texas Tech defense. Georgia's defense the last three games has allowed just 6.3 points. Their last five games, they have given up just 10 points on average. And so when you're looking at that strength, it also will go right head-to-head against Ole Miss's strength, and that is their offense. Trinidad Chambliss can beat you with his arm. He can beat you with his legs. That offense is not going anywhere. Who makes the quickest adjustments, to me, is who wins this game. I do think it's Georgia, but I also played Ole Miss +6.5. I cannot get away from where we are from just a handful of weeks, month or so ago, in which Ole Miss should have won that game outright. So I like getting the points here. I don't know if this thing gets to 7. It's kind of been stuck all week. So I'll take Ole Miss, and I think they are going to have a little chip on their shoulder, as they did in the first round. Lane Kiffin is not here anymore. Doesn't matter. We're good enough without him, and I think they want to make it stand up against a team, as I said, by rights, they should have beaten in the regular season.
Where are you on Gunnar Stockton? We know how dynamic Chambliss is, but this is going to be a big stage, right? Gunnar Stockton's been on the stage before here for Georgia. Where are you? Like, if this game turns into a shootout, let's just say for this conversation that it does turn into one of those, man, we really were struggling to curtail Chambliss. Our defense is reverting back to the way it looked at the beginning of the year, where Georgia's defense did not look like it was your typical Georgia defense. It looks like it's back to being that. But if they struggle with Chambliss, is Gunnar Stockton good enough in your eyes to keep pace with a Chambliss if this thing becomes a shootout?
Yeah, I think so. And again, remember, Stockton can beat you with his legs too. He's not afraid to go and tuck it and do it on his own. I think we're in for some prolonged drives here. I think we're in for some clock eating drives. I think we're 6-7 minute drives here. Georgia has no problem churning this thing into a time of possession battle. I think they feel like they could lean on that defense if need be. So limiting possessions for Ole Miss, I think, would be a priority. That gets me to the run game. That gets me to the under 56.5 as well.
Fascinating. These three games, again, we've talked about it. Once you get to this spotlight and the way that the country writ large was watching before they celebrated to the wee hours of the night, watching Ohio State against Miami last night, and now you get to watch these three games today. Whew. It does not get a whole lot better than the quarterfinal round right now. But this is the good part of the college football playoff, so let's savor that. All right, when we come back, let's get our best bets also on the college football playoff and beyond, because you've got some other plays in there for VSiN Pro subscribers. We'll discuss those next right here on VSiN by the Book. We'll be right back.
tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. You can start off the new year here in 2026 as a better with a VSiN Pro subscription. This is the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. You sign up now. You get VSiN Pro access for everything that we do through May 1st. Just $79. That gets you daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, covering everything from the college football playoff, NFL playoffs, March Madness, and the Masters, a tradition unlike any other. Bill Adie's going to send you a daily email. You should get that. It is fantastic. So you can receive our college football playoff betting guide right now as we keep moving on with expert brackets. Steve Mackinnon's got his power ratings out there. All the bowls, and there are previews for every single game as they continue. So start off 2026 with a winning edge. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, I am Dave Ross. Jensen, I asked you during the break. I need an answer. Hypothetical for everybody listening out there. USC lost their bowl game in a very tough fashion for yours truly. I had a little small play on USC. Would have been nice to get home. But I'm looking at Lincoln Riley and I'm watching SC and they, you know, lose to Notre Dame. They get excluded from the college football playoff. And then I watch Oklahoma and Brent Venables and they get in there. They were favored against Alabama, but they did get to the college football playoff. Out of those kind of trading places, right? Venables leaves Clemson to take over Oklahoma because Lincoln Riley left Oklahoma to take over USC. Who do you think is in the short term position better in 2026 and beyond? Is it Oklahoma with Venables or is it Lincoln Riley with USC?
Man, if you're a quarterback, you want to go to USC. I mean, Lincoln Riley, the Heisman whisperer. So I think that would be, I'd lean there. It's not a lot of daylight in between my lean. I can tell you that. So I would lean towards the offense and USC versus, man, Oklahoma having to go through the gauntlet of the SEC regular season schedule. This is tough year in and year out.
I'm with you. I think it's super close. I might small lean towards Oklahoma because I know Venables is going to have a defense that's playoff caliber each and every year. But just think about that before you get your handicaps next year when you're betting on to make the college football playoff. Remember, Oklahoma did get in there and USC did not. A lot of talent on USC, but it's somehow, some way they've not figured out a way with Lincoln Riley yet to get to the games we're talking about today. That gets us to our best bets for the teams that are still alive here in the college football playoff. Miami has moved on for you into the semis. Three teams will join Miami today. So this time, showtime tomorrow, we're going to have four teams left in the college football playoff. That's going to be exciting. First one on the docket is Oregon against Texas Tech. Texas Tech's getting 2.5. It has not hit 3. Total sitting at 50.5. We talked about some of those numbers there. If you want to look at some team totals, you could do that as well if you don't want to bet that side. Or excuse me, bet that total. But for the side, would you rather take the 2.5? Or just play the money line price here in Texas Tech plus $1.20 if you like the Red Raider side.
Yeah, I could see where you get to the money line. I erred a little bit on caution and two-unit play for me on Texas Tech plus 2.5. I wrote up in our college football playoff betting guide that I had Indiana and Miami to meet in the college football playoff national championship. We are one win away from the Canes for basically setting up a home, if you will, national title game. I think that Texas Tech gets it done, and I have them playing Indiana in the other semifinal. And I would love to see that materialize in so much that I said in that write-up for the betting guide, if that path materializes, Dave, it's a candidate for best game of the entire college football playoff, likely decided on the final drive. That's what I had envisioned when I saw this bracket materialize and where we could potentially be here. So first things first, I do think Texas Tech wins the game, but 2-unit play for me with the Red Raiders on plus 2.5.
I like where your head's at here. What's going to happen in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl, Alabama against Indiana. And we're checking the rain. Again, we're not for old timers like myself, Willard Scott out there, God rest his soul. So we don't know exactly what it's going to look like. We know it's rained all week out there. Maybe Al Roker can get on this for us. Bama getting 7, some 7.5 starting to populate, and that total sitting at 47.5. What do you like in this one?
Yep, I played the Crimson Tide plus 7.5. Also played the over 47.5. Regardless of conditions, Dave, I think we're going to get some points here. And it would not shock me if Indiana gets into the mid to high 20s, if not surpassing 30 points in this affair. Listen, Alabama's defense is good. I think Indiana's defense can be able to produce some turnovers, maybe get some short fields. But also at the same time, if Alabama wins this game, they are going to have to match punch for punch through the air. So that means big days from Jerrion Bernard, from Ryan Williams, like that has to be there if Alabama is going to be able to pull the upset.
There was a great courtroom drama before A Few Good Men, which is my favorite courtroom drama of all time, at least in Hollywood. And it was called Dog Day Afternoon with Al Pacino. You're out of order. This whole courtroom is out of order. Are you going to go with a dog theme for the final game? So you've gone two dogs so far. Texas Tech plus 2.5. Bama plus 7.5. What about Ole Miss? Is that last dog barking for you?
Yeah, let's not get away from what has been profitable, right? Every team that has played so far last year and this year in the first round has gone on to win. Everyone who has had the breather, if you will, the bye week, 20-plus days off, has not won yet. So this could be one of those spots, too, where Georgia, it takes a little bit to get going, but ultimately I think that defense really rules the day. I do like Ole Miss plus 6.5. I think Georgia wins the game. I did play under 56.5, got a little breathing room with the hook there. So, yeah, to me, this is just more on Georgia does enough defensively this time around what they couldn't do. Remember, Ole Miss put up a boatload of points in this regular season matchup. I think they tighten the screws probably for my money outside of Texas Tech and Miami. This is the best defense in college football, the way they're playing right now. And I think that holds true in the nightcap of this college football playoff quarterfinal.
Point of order, Your Honor. I sit corrected. This is why we have great producing. Joe Friso has chimed in. I got the wrong Pacino movie in my quote. That was actually And Justice for All, where Pacino plays the lawyer. You're out of order. This whole courtroom is out of order. Dog Day Afternoon was the thriller. It was the hostage situation. If you remember that one. So I screwed up my Pacino old 70s movies. Joe, you are right. It was And Justice for All. But I will say this. When it comes to courtroom dramas, there's nothing better than what we saw Rob Reiner, God rest his soul, with A Few Good Men. Absolutely love that courtroom drama there with the Marine Corps and the Navy. Jensen, you've got some other plays out there for some people that are maybe not watching the gridiron today. What do you have in hoops that you might like for the people?
Yeah, we're going to play some overs today in the association. Celtics and Kings over 227.5. We'll also play the Jazz and the Clippers over 235.5. All of a sudden, the LA Clippers are hot. They have been really playing some good basketball the last couple of weeks. I think they keep that going against one of the worst teams in the association. Also have another over here. It's a lower total, but Rockets and Nets over 219.5. So three overs thus far, one under, and it's an early game. Line is moving a little bit on the spread. I took the Mavericks plus 1.5. They're up to plus 2.5. But I'm going to play the under there. Mavs and Sixers here, deep in the heart of Texas, under 231.5. That's the way I'm going in the association today. Do have some obscure college basketball plays. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you have those. If you are not, Dave, no better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber than today. Start your new year right and make sure that you become a member. It has been a profitable year end in football for us. I'll probably start adding some NFL week 18 plays later on tonight, if not tomorrow morning, but that's where we're going today. What a fabulous way for us to kick off the new year. Three, and you're right, every one of these games feels like it could go either way with the way that these teams are playing. So I cannot wait to watch them starting anew.
You know, the question is going to start to arise here with your ticket on Miami at plus 3250. When do you start to look to monetize that ticket? Now that they are already in the Final Four, I've got Bama at 30-1 to win this thing. If they can get by, big if, Indiana today. I wonder if you and I would be talking about that tomorrow on the program, about what we do with these seismic tickets, at least those price points at over 30-1 here in that juncture. So I'm hoping to get to where you're sitting today, Jensen. That's a big one now. That was the test with Miami, right? You had to get through the reigning defendings, and they did that. Alabama, your task. You have to beat the number one team in the country today. on a wet field potentially out there in Pasadena. But Jensen, have you started to think about that for next week? Or are you waiting to see what the matchup's going to be?
Yeah, more so what the matchup's going to be. And right now, I mean, I'll have time for later on tonight. If it is indeed Georgia, excuse me, and Alabama, we can look at what Tuna, I think it's down. It's already down. Since we started, Dave, Miami was a 3.5 point dog. They're down to 2.5 on the hypothetical look ahead against Georgia.
I knew it. There's no way you're going to get over that 3.5. The people who listened to us and hopefully got to the window on the good side of the number. Jensen, great stuff. As always, Happy New Year to you. Can't wait to talk and do the show again tomorrow. If you want more of Beeson, we got a numbers game coming up next with Gil Alexander.